I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bum, 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 bum.
Mouth noise. Where are you going to get that mouth noise? Going to come down to my house, going to eat some mouth noise on this barbecue. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Andy.
Yeah, Andy Matthews?
Yeah.
And funny. I'm Alistair George William Trombley Virgil. And goddammit, you're not going to believe this. Joining us in the tank is the man who started it all. And by all, I mean the podcast Do Go On with his two friends, Dave and Jess. It's Matthew Stewart.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Matthew,
it's good to be back
James
in the tank.
Stewart. Yes, it's good to have you back. We've kept it just the way it was when you died.
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't want to change a thing.
Since you moved out.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, I call it dying.
Pod death.
Every time you leave a room, in a way, you move out. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm going to move out.
As in diet, like change its color? It used to be you. It used to
every
be,
time you leave a room.
Yeah.
Leave a room, you move out. What did I say?
I don't know. I thought you said you die.
I might have said that, but in my mind, I said something very different.
No, you said what you thought you said.
Yeah, Andy. Okay, great.
And what Al said was bonkers. Die as in change colour.
Yeah, die.
Here's this idea.
Okay.
It's a removals firm, but not for moving house.
No.
Just for getting your stuff together when you've had all the kids there at a cafe table and you're leaving. And there's a lot of bits and pieces to pick up. There's a lot of pencils and pads and
keys, wallet, phone.
Exactly, all those things. It's a little removals team. And they come there in their jumpsuits. Mm. And they just help you get everything together into boxes. They put on a little trolley. And they have a tiny little truck.
Or maybe they're just, you know, they show up and they're like, oh, you haven't packed anything like that? And they're just like, they're helping you having to put things into boxes or into your pockets.
So if it was a tiny truck, are we talking about normal, like just humans? Or are you talking about gnomes or something?
Are the people tiny?
Yeah, like. So
that's
like
a really good
some
idea.
Some sort of Lord of the Rings type. That's my reference for.
Small people.
You know, goblets.
But I mean.
goblins.
Well, I mean, if they're removalists, they would have to be sort of roughly the size that your wallet would have to be like a piano for them.
Yeah, that's great. You know? Yeah.
And so they're just kind of very small people. And I think this, you haven't, you know, obviously you've not been up to date with the trend, the two in the think tank trends, but this could be the third episode in a row where we just come up with an idea where we've just got some very small people.
I'm going to add something to this, though, because let's then just hypothesize that all moving of things is done by removalists of different sizes and possibly slightly different species. We've just bred them, like we bred the Clydesdale just to be a bigger, stronger horse. We've just bred removalists, and you've got a removalist for almost everything you could imagine.
You don't have freight trains.
You have just large removalists striding across the land.
Oh, that's good. See, that makes it, at one end you're making it easier. The other end you're going, this wallet would be easily moved by you, but you're making someone who feels like it's the size of a piano
well,
do
Well, we
it.
Always, because what's truly easy for a removalist is dealing with something that is an appropriate size for them.
Right.
I think a big
like
removalist.
A piano.
Exactly.
And so there's two of them. There's two of them. Let's say you're trying to go from London to Manchester. And then, so two people.
Great choice of cities as well.
Thank
just
you.
Perfect.
And they, they both show up. You're roughly the size of a piano compared to them.
Yeah.
And one grabs you in the front, and the other one grabs you in the back. And then they go down the stairs that go from London to Manchester.
Exactly. Carefully pivoting you around the
one's going backwards.
The landing.
Like that. Yeah. And then, but they kind of, I guess they would jog to get you there at a reasonable, at the same speed.
I've never seen a removalist quite that enthusiastic.
Well, this is, I mean, this is a long distance.
We've bred that into them as well.
Yeah.
They're runners, these ones.
Well,
yeah. They love a bit of turf. They love a bit of speed. And I'm trying to make up some racing terminology.
Yeah, love a bit of turf.
But that's
a fast track.
Yeah. Is that something they would say?
Yeah. The track riding today is fast. Rougher on the horses, though. I think the harder the track, the faster it is.
Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about breeding a faster track. they should have a nice fast track alongside far lap in the museum.
Just a little bit of turf.
Bit of turf.
A hard grass?
Yeah. Preserved. Stuffed.
I mean, I couldn't imagine a grass that's all just cactus needles.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hard grass.
That's a hard grass. Would they do it like Farlap? Would they take, the harder Farlaps in one museum, the hide in another?
And then come back to life? That feels like what you do with a vampire.
that's what they're worried about. Farlap. Bloody hell.
It's the current racers who are trying to not, the people trying to protect their
horse. It's too dangerous.
The undead horse. That feels like a sketch, maybe. Is it?
Undead horse?
Yeah, where they've... Yeah. It's Farlap, but this sketch is showing the true story.
Zombie Farlap.
Yeah. It's set back in the day. When was Farlap around?
30s?
30s. It's set in the 30s. So that way you don't
I might
need,
be thinking of Seabiscuit.
So many problems in films today are, why don't they just call them on their mobile phone? But, of course, being set in 1930s, this is fantastic for that. No one can go, why don't they just call Zombie Farlap?
Why don't they just call them on their can and string?
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of the can. Was that already around in the 30s?
I think so. I'm not sure exactly what year they started canning food, but... Was that the first reason for using a can? Or I guess the bucket, that you could have used a bucket.
They made the can for telecommunication, you think? And then someone said, we could put fruit in this.
I think it makes sense.
It does. Yeah.
They go, well, without them, maybe the...
What's more fundamental? Human communication?
Well, that's actually what SPC originally stood for. Special phone communication.
Special phone. And this was a special phone because the other phone wasn't... The normal phone wasn't invented yet. And so what was special about this one is that
it has been invented.
Yeah.
What you're going to love about this is it's been invented. So one of its dominant features is that it exists, unlike all the competing products, which don't.
Hello, potential investors. One thing that you will notice in today's episode, seminar, is that, sure, the product isn't very good. But what you will, what is of note of this product is that it has been invented.
There you go. It has that over the others in spades.
I didn't add a lot to that, but I did make it longer.
I think the difference between this show and Do Go On is when I said standard for, Jess and Dave would have made fun of me for quite a while. And you two just moved on.
Standard for? I don't even remember you saying standard for.
And I love
that's
and
how
I,
much I've moved on.
And the thing maybe is, I never even say that.
I don't know.
That's how they've got me in such a vulnerable feeling position, those two.
I want you to know that the standard four, that's the normal four that I use. Okay. And so if they're using three or five or something like that as a four.
I think I said standard four when I meant stood for.
Yeah.
Now that you've heard it as a different way as well, standard four. Yeah. So that's the beauty of your mind, Alice, there. Wow. You'll hear a thing and you'll change its meaning.
I want you to know that your mind has beauty as well, but it's a different beauty. You'll come up with expressions that can be misinterpreted.
Right.
Can.
And we're back.
I want to talk more about the standard four, which is the standard number four.
Yeah.
And I want to know whether or not before we standardize the metric system and that sort of thing or currency, people had different ones that meant different amounts in different countries.
Different counties.
Different countries.
No, but I'm saying in counties. You could go over the hill.
Is that why it's called a county? Because you count differently there?
That's what it was. That's also why they call them camp trees.
Yeah. That's great.
The rees is something else.
But what is the standard four to you? That amount of things?
One, two, three, four, standard four. That means that many. holding up.
Let's say you got about
for the listeners, we're holding up four fingers.
Standard four.
But let's say you would be in Ballarat and people would say, give me four pies, and then they'd give you six pies, but a standard six.
Right.
But in this area it was
Ballarat four.
It was a Ballarat four. You see, but if you went two towns up to Wagga Wagga like that, a four would be 104.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Quite.
And 104 in that area is what they would just call four, the standard four.
Exactly. Because they find that, like, you know, the first 100, you're just getting your eye in.
Mm.
They don't even count.
When did they standardize the numbers?
It would have been a lot like when, I think, was it Machiavelli brought together all the Italian languages and went, yeah, this is the normal one.
That's really? What, when you're acting like Machiavellian, you're scheming, that's what it is, is it? You're bringing together languages.
Or maybe it was the prince. Maybe that's what that was.
Look, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, you do.
I know Machiavelli from a Tism album title.
Yeah. Oh, I think he was brutal. He was brutal. He was outright Machiavellian.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I think a lot of people said that when he came up with some of his ideas. This is Machiavellian.
He had found his voice so early.
He had.
That they could sort of call it. I reckon he's going to be pretty mean about this.
Mm.
pretty strict in his signature way.
I listened to this big series of philosophy podcasts about Machiavelli. And all I remember is at the start them saying, like, a lot of what people think about Machiavelli, that's not really what he's about. Like, he wasn't really talking about that. But I can't remember what any of the other things were that they were saying. So I've just gone back to remembering the traditional stuff of just being a bit of a snake.
That does, I mean, I love that name.
Mm.
Machiavelli?
That's good. I'd never thought about it before. That's going to be one of the top names.
What was the Tism's album title?
Machiavelli and the Four Seasons.
Mm. Which is play on Frankie Valli?
Yeah, play on Frankie Valli and Machiavelli, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty good.
And then on the back, there was nothing. There was their biggest selling album. There's nothing on the album cover that suggests it's a Tism album. And on the back, the album tracks are all variations of I Love You. I Love You. I Love You, Baby. Baby, I Love You.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
Yeah. And is it a good album?
It's one with Greg the Stop Sign on it. Sorry, I thought you were about to say that.
Or is it called sort of I Love Baby You?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it was, yeah, I guess officially it's called I Love Baby You or something.
Yeah. Baby, yeah. I Love Your Way.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful song. yeah.
What I thought you were about to say something. But
yeah, I was, but I forgot. Anyway, sorry.
That's all right.
The important thing is that we can go back. We have a little gap here so that we can go back to this zombie horse thing that I didn't write down because I wasn't 100% sure we had found yet.
It's sort of like a secret history, you know, so you're going back and seeing what actually happened. So maybe you'd have some historical footage in the sketch.
Yeah.
But then you'd go through a door from that famous scene in a far lap running at Flemington or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you go through that door and then there's like a secret society. There. People standing in a circle or a pentagram. Mm. Is that something you might do?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then they're going, we must to destroy. I feel like he won all the races because he was already a zombie.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And this is the story of them defeating him or her.
Yeah.
And then removing the heart, and that's why it's in the museum. Is that famous enough that
it's globally known, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know that it was attempted to be poisoned in America. It went to take on the world, and it ended up dying from complications from that. So maybe that poisoning also plays
complications from the poisoning.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a poisoning. Maybe it was a cross and someone saying, get out, or whatever
it was just some holy water.
Yeah,
spilled some salt and then accidentally threw it over their shoulder and it went in Farlap's eye and he had an eye salt
injury.
Allergy.
They like a salt licks, but not salt seas.
That's right. A salt tastes.
Yeah.
But salt. No, that doesn't do
eye.
Anything.
No.
Salt in the eye.
You edit the bad stuff
this
out.
This is absolutely something. Yeah, we do. Absolutely. We do. It gets down to about 3-4 minutes. But this is absolutely, I think it's absolutely something else.
Yeah, okay, zombie.
Yeah, zombie Farlap, the true story. Like, you know, looking into why has his heart been removed, which seems very macabre. Like, you wouldn't do that to a normal horse that you were sure was going to stay dead. And, unless you know, how did he become so fast? Sounds like maybe he sold his soul to the devil.
Oh, yes. Made Machiavellian pact.
Mm. So, oh, yeah. Ah, yes, one of those. But wait, that would allow... But wait, but maybe he sold his soul to the devil so that he could learn to play the guitar. and it was in...
At the crossroads.
Yeah, at the crossroads, and then...
And it was in a fiddle off somehow. Yeah. The devil had a golden fiddle.
He lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then it was running from the mob... Or the sort of the fiddle gang.
Yeah, the fiddle gang.
that he learned that he could run.
Mm. Oh, right.
That he was born to run.
So the deal was about what we never saw.
Yeah.
The deal was largely unrelated, deal with the devil.
Yeah.
But it did mean that slowly his soul was consumed by the Dark Lord.
But it also meant that that's why, you know.
He ran with beautiful rhythm.
He ran with beautiful rhythm, and there's so many things that people don't know about because you can't just have the zombie thing,
right?
You know, if you're gonna say, "Oh, we got this completely untold story of Farlap," you go, "Ah, no, it's just that he was a zombie. People will ruin it; they won't go see it."
Yeah,
you need a second thing that he was actually spent a bit of time as a blues musician.
Made it. Who was Faust? The Faustian Pact.
That was Faust.
That was his name. So first name, last name. Is it John Faust or was it Faust Leguizamo?
I think it's his second name. And didn't he made some pact with the devil?
Yeah, but
I know the details, obviously.
Yeah, I assume you two, between you, know everything. So when I asked that, I just assume one of you would be like, oh, Faust, born in 1783.
Yeah.
Maybe he was given certain, you know, I can tell you about it from references and things. Like the movie Bedazzled is obviously a play on the Faust concept.
Is that a Brendan Fraser film?
Yeah, that was a remake of originally a Dudley Moore and Peter Cook film.
Oh, that is right up your alley.
Mm, it is, yes, although I haven't seen it. So anyway, I don't have a lot to bring to this, I'm sorry.
No, and it doesn't really matter. Mm. It was off track anyway. I'm not here to learn
something
things.
Something Farlap never did.
Faust, who wrote that book?
John?
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo is my second favorite name of the day so far.
Really? After Machiavelli?
After Machiavelli.
Or was it after Standard 4? Because if it was like Tommy Standard 4.
Beautiful name for a boy or girl. Yeah. Standard 4.
And Tommy.
Tommy also works, yeah.
Because that could be Tomatha. You know? It's short for Tomatha.
Yeah.
It's normal. Yeah, because Andrew's got Andrea.
Mm. Is there a girl version of every boy name and vice versa, obviously?
Yeah, I wonder.
If there isn't, it means that we can give one. But then also, it's you know, all the boys' names can also be a girl's name.
That's true.
You know, but it's nice because then once you have a girl version, that can also be a boy's name.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's good.
You see, because every name is written, there's no gender attached to a name.
No.
You know, so like you don't see any Lady Johns so far. Mm. But maybe a Jean Patricia.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
Or
I guess Joan would have been right, but that
Joan.
Which came first?
Joan or John?
Yeah.
John.
Really?
Well, men were made first, so then they made them first.
Didn't
so
they make men out of women's ribs or something?
That's only in the Bible.
Oh,
I'm talking in reality.
Oh, in reality. I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know that either. But let's see. What's a strong man name that you don't think there is a female version?
Bruce.
Bruce. You don't think there's? Isn't there like a Brucina?
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. Beautiful name.
Brucette.
Brucette. Mm. Bruchetta.
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 Yeah. Bruchetta.
Oh, yeah. Bruchetta, I guess that is a little Bruce.
Yeah.
Can I get some of these little Bruces you got here? If I was Italian. And you were understanding the exact, like if my words in Italian mapped directly into your, somehow we've rewired your brain.
Yeah.
We've taken the language center from an Italian's brain and connected into your Australian brain that you have, Matt.
Yeah.
And we've removed the language center from your brain. But what that means is that all the words, while their meaning transmits directly into your brain, still enter in an Australian accent.
Oh, that'd be a great thing to have.
And in a total. Does your internal monologue have an accent? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But your brain.
I'm just checking.
Both of you just like looked off into the distance and just thought some words tried to listen to them.
Yeah. I did it in a fake Australian accent. My mind went, "G'day, Matt." I didn't prove anything.
I know, mine was really going like this, going like, "Hey, Al, how are you?" It sounded like Matt doing an impression of me. That's my inner monologue.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty doable.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty doable.
Yeah, that should be doable.
Yeah, that should be doable.
Anyway.
I don't know why I go lower for you, because you're going higher.
Well, I think I'm just trying to conscious so people can tell the difference between us.
Oh, that should be doable. No.
That should be doable.
Is that me now?
That should be doable.
I think that's you if you're laughing.
For the listeners at home, that is just Al.
Sorry.
That is definitely a laugh that I do. That has been referred to as annoying by some listeners of some podcasts.
That sounds cruel.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't
name and shame.
I laughed very sadly to myself when I read that comment.
That sucks.
Like a sad laugh, like this, the kind of laugh that you do. Because there should be laughs for other emotions.
It should, yes. You know,
there's laughing for finding something funny.
Yes. Mm.
But what about for finding something tragic?
Mm.
That is
a lot like crying.
I think it's an involuntary laugh. There's no tears. It's a dry laugh.
Alistair, what we're discovering is that crying already is the tragic laughter. It's just all the other emotions that don't have a laughter. I mean, maybe a little sort of discovery.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little laugh. That's another good one. Yes, coughing to death. That already has
a
laugh.
That's the laughter of choking.
Mm, the death laugh. The death rattle. The death laugh.
You know the death wobbles that you get if you're on a skateboard and you're going down a hill?
Mm, I've seen those in horse float, speaking of horses.
What's horse float?
A horse float is what you pull behind a car that has horses in it. It's like a little trailer that's got horses in it. It's got that funny little curve.
It sounded like an Adelaide cuisine.
You take a horse floater. And you just fill it up with mushed peas and gravy. This is a delicacy here. Just eat around the whole shit.
Eat around the horse, to be honest.
It's just the peas and the gravy. It's just a drink of peas and gravy here. Here's your straw. Man, we're off the rails.
What was I saying?
Hey, Andy, we can't go back.
Yeah, it's true.
Like there's a horse.
They can't go back.
It's like a horse can't go back.
Can't go back.
You never do see a horse walking backwards.
No. Yeah.
No. I guess it must be because they can't do it.
Yeah.
Do they have back legs? Is that why? Because they don't have back legs.
Yeah, no back legs.
They got actually two sets of front legs.
Yeah. Are there any races for horses where the horses have to go backwards? I mean, I picture that the jockey turns around and sits the other way on the horse.
That's a fun.
And you just...
I'm writing that down straight away.
And you just hold its sort of the top of its buttocks there between your two hands, and you try and sort of massage them to steer the horse.
I think that's a good idea. I think that would actually be a good alternative, and it would actually stop all the horse deaths.
It would be a lot less horse deaths.
Because it's less fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still just as challenging.
That's right. That's the funny thing. There's no reason to make it about speed.
No.
I mean, this is still about speed, but just slow speed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Backward speed.
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing with, there's no reason why combat sports should be done with strong people.
Yeah.
It would just be as entertaining if they were unskilled and weak.
It's all about evenly matched, right?
Exactly. And you just need to have it, and they could go for longer.
And why do they have to be dressed in those little shorts and usually topless? Couldn't they just be dressed normally?
Or in a suit.
In a suit, yeah. Yes. Formal wear.
And why does it have to be in an octagon? Why can't it just be like at a restaurant?
A normal shape, like a restaurant shape. I don't let any good ideas slip away.
That's very good, mate. It's a sort of a mixed martial art type fight where you go, and the octagon, which is a square now, has just been set up like a cafe where people are having a disagreement. And it starts, and the referee is dressed up as a waiter. And what happens is the referee comes and brings the bill. And then it starts as an argument over splitting the bill. And then, you know, basically, it's one of those fights where people are fighting over, you know, oh, no, don't you pay. I'll pay, right? And the fight, you win. You win when you are able to pay.
Right? You got to tap your card on the
exactly.
Reader.
That's tapping out in this is a different meaning. And
tapping out, that means you win.
That means you win, But And then, you know, you can use any means. And it's truly, you know, we've talked about emotional martial arts a couple of weeks ago on this thing.
A lot of repeat ideas.
A lot of repetition.
Here, but it's good to have an outside idea.
Yeah, this came from you, Matt. So, it starts off with that psychological element. You might be able to just wear someone down and get them to let you pay just verbally. Mm. But if it escalates to physical, that's...
Which it does almost every time.
Almost every time. Yeah. That's absolutely there as an option.
They could use the standard figure four move.
Standard four?
Yeah, the figure four wrestling move, and I've merged that with the standard four from earlier.
And but they both have standard figures.
Yes.
Which is sort of a little bit unfit.
Yeah.
The figure four was a move that we used to do on each other at primary school.
Is it?
Yeah. Was that not a famous?
Is that a sort of a chokehold kind of thing? It looks like you could get sort of the shape of the letter four.
From memory, you'd bend their legs into the shape of a four so that you were pulling them beyond where they should go.
Ow.
Yeah. Mm. Till they tap out. I don't think we ever mastered it.
Sort of stretching.
Primary school kids very flexible.
Mm. And things rarely get to the point of...
Or my uncle used to do yoga, and I just did it with him in primary school, and it's like, this is easy.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're really good at this. You should keep it up. But it is not. It's just primary school kids.
No, but I think if you did keep it up from that age...
I should have stayed there.
You would have stayed flexible.
I say primary school kids. I just mean me when I was a primary school kid. Mm. I haven't tested it any time recently.
Well, my little children are very... very flexible.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You should get them in a primary
school.
Their
body doesn't have any expectations about which way it should go.
Right.
Which orientation it should, the limb should be relative. You know, you can put little kids, if they come out with their hips all wrong, you can put them in a little harnessy type strappy
thing. Like a horse racing.
Exactly.
Yes.
And get them, the hips, to grow in the right direction, in the right places. But you could equally likely put them in one to make them grow the wrong direction. And, you know, strap your children's hips and get them going out horizontally.
Oh, wow.
For some reason.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You could get them to grow in any sort of, like some sort of a bonsai plant. Mm. Wow.
I guess you could get them to cartwheel everywhere.
Exactly.
If their legs are just out.
That could be the standard format.
So is this how harness racing jockeys come about? They're put in these harnesses and then
they
bind their legs and then the horses pull them along. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Pull them along actually sounds like a place where you'd have horse racing.
Yeah. We're going out of the pull them along track. The pull them along derby's on this weekend.
Yeah.
There'd be a big scandal in backward horse racing when it turned out that somebody actually was riding a Ford's horse just with a very ugly face.
Oh, yeah. And a big growth on its butt.
Oh, its butt.
A headlock growth that sometimes vomits from its neck.
Or a double-butted horse, you know, one that's got no head. It came out with two butts.
Yeah, but one butt that eats.
So the back legs are running forwards.
Right. Oh, yeah, that would be it.
That'd be an advantage.
Just, I mean, a horse with no head overall might be at a disadvantage in
not
life.
Not in reverse horse
racing. Not in backwards horse racing.
Backwards horse racing.
The reverse cowgirl of horse racing.
Would be to sit on top of somebody facing forward instead of, the reverse backwards cowgirl.
Horse boy.
Yeah.
Is what it is, technically.
Yeah, it's funny to think that cowgirls ride horses.
Mm.
You know? Oh, you'd assume, like, if you're an alien landing here today and you said, I'll meet my friend.
Mate,
she's a cowgirl.
You're onto something here.
I reckon the alien would be like, well, oh, yeah, well, she rides cows.
Mm. Yeah. Or she's a cow who rides girls.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Or she's part cow, part girl.
Part yes.
That rides horses.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is not mentioned in the name.
No. So the aliens just arrived and they know about girls and they know about cows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, they've had an operation where they've changed part of the language receptor in the brain.
In the brain.
And so now they're getting pure English, or they're getting English filtered straight into their brain.
Yeah.
Mm. And so they can, and they probably have a good memory. So if you mention cows and girls once, they'll be like, got it.
I think this is a sketch or maybe even a full series, Andy. You've got a corporation.
A corporation. Mm. Yeah, it's very corporate.
What is that word?
Is that a co-op?
I don't know what the word is.
A corporation.
I was so close.
But a cooperation.
Cooperation.
We really put the co-op in cooperation.
So you run a company. And
a company.
And I think that's the service you provide. And every episode, you put the language receptors in a different... The possibilities for comedy are endless here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, particularly the graphic scenes in which the surgery is performed. Yeah. Removing it from the brain of a struggling Italian and struggling financially.
Yes.
And so they've sold us their language receptor. Yeah. But also, they don't want this operation. And
they sold it to us against their will.
Against their will. Very much.
It was a buyer's market.
Mm. So. Yeah, is that what that means?
Yeah.
That you're allowed to buy whatever you want.
Yeah, buyers can buy.
Oh, no, it's a buyer's market. But I don't want to sell my horse.
Buyer's market.
That does seem like, a buyer's market is somebody who just walks around and can buy anything they want. And they just go, I mean, I know that's what you guys are suggesting already. Mm. But, you know, just going like...
You're putting it through the language receptors. Yeah,
just go, give me your shoes for $25.
What would be society like? Or... If you will, what would society be like if there was no concept of theft, but you could take anything you wanted from anybody at any time, as long as you gave them the value of that thing in money? So it is sort of like everything is for sale, you know, but there's just a standard price. You're able to scan in some way every object and know the value of it. And then if you want it, you can just take it and you just transfer it to the owner.
Big increase.
Everything's transferable and constantly.
No, no one can say no.
No one can say no.
Everyone would be licking their stuff, I reckon.
Mm.
There'd be a big increase of licking.
But then that's just going to reduce the value of the thing, right? And so you won't get as much money, right, if it's been licked.
Yeah, but there's also less chance people will take it out from underneath you.
Yeah, I suppose.
Assuming it's a
horse.
Ride on lawnmower.
That's what a horse is, mate. Bloody ride on lawnmower. Am I right?
You are right. But like, let's say it's like somebody goes, I need that business shirt. I got a job interview.
Right? Yeah.
So then they buy it from you by giving you like, you know, a big bag of rocks or something. Like
Of
equal value.
Okay.
And it's a big bag of rocks.
Because I think a bag of rocks at a certain size, its value starts to go down again. Then you're like, what am I going to do with all these fucking rocks?
Well,
I can't even transport them.
But that's the problem. It's
going to break the bag.
Yeah, and so then, but you just
sounds like this bag's pretty good. I want to know more about this bag. Well, so
that's
all these
why
rocks.
You're getting. Yeah, that's where a lot of the value is.
It's in the bag.
In the bag.
But
then, which is where the rocks are too. Yeah.
and the bag loses some of its value when people don't. It isn't demonstrating how many rocks that it can carry.
Sure, right. Because then it's an unknown.
Yeah, that's right. They just go, well, that just looks like a sack of some sort. Mm, you know,
could be. Built to very low construction standards. Fill that with rocks and then we'll talk.
And drag it through town?
Yeah.
Rubbing against that concrete? That's good.
So you're heading into a job interview.
Yeah.
You've dragged with you your enormous bag of rocks.
Yeah.
What you don't have is a shirt.
A business shirt. Yeah, you're wearing a shirt.
You walk down the street until you see a man wearing a shirt that you're aware is exactly equal in value to the large bag of rocks. much of the value of which is in the bag that you're carrying with you. Of course, as you the longer you walk, the value of the bag as it gets worn away on the concrete is going to go down.
Well, it's not getting
worn
away.
Oh, that's how good the bag
is. That's how good the bag is. That's why this demonstration is such a great example of its value, right?
Sounds like it might be a slippery bag.
It could be, yeah.
Greasy it's
probably
bag.
Doing something to do with its, the reducing friction between it and the ground and the rocks in it, you know? And so suddenly this person, shirtless, but with a newfound bag of rocks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's impossible. They were on their way to work.
They need a shirt.
They need a shirt. And so they've got to wait. And they either got to drag this bag. Or they got to just wait there till somebody comes by.
Mm.
Hopefully somebody that you don't have to inconvenience too much. Maybe somebody leaving work.
Yeah,
maybe somebody who works an office job maybe overnight. And that way on the way, they're leaving work.
It's quite a funny scene of somebody walking out the front door of their office building in their business attire, encountering somebody coming into the building in casual clothes, take off all of their clothes, swap over, and then the other person goes back in. This is a situation where it's kind of like office share, but it's office outfit share, or like a co-working space, you know. But like,
but the space is inside.
Doesn't
the
make
clothing.
Sense to. Doesn't make sense to own, to rent an office. If it doesn't make sense to rent an office, it doesn't make sense to own your own
suit.
Business attire.
Yeah,
and that there should be, you just leave it in a pile there by the door and somebody coming into the co-working space puts it on and strides confidently into work.
Well, it'll get all creased if it's on the pile.
Maybe you get those guys, because bowling alleys, I imagine, aren't doing so well financially these days. Get whoever it is that gives out the shoes.
Now, you know what,
have
with COVID,
them with a little booth.
I went there recently when bowling with my son, and they don't have to... You don't make you wear the shoes anymore.
Oh, you just wear your own shoes.
You just wear regular shoes.
So that whole thing was just a fucking charade the entire time, all that shoe shit.
Of course it was a charade.
What? Why? What was the charade? What was in it for them?
Eh? Shoe money.
Shoe money. Yeah. Right.
You got your own bowling shoes? No?
Oh, you have to pay for shoes.
Maybe.
Oh, that is a rort.
I mean, it feels like it. It feels like it was built into the price.
You sure it wasn't that they just liked watching people wear their shoes?
I think it could have been
that was what was in it
for
them.
You can roll here, but you got to wear my shoes.
I think
these are all my shoes.
I think it must have been that initially they were making it seem like the shoes were a thing that they, a cost that they had to get. They had to, spend money on so that you guys could do it, because you can't walk on this wood with regular shoes like that. But then they realized, we can't do that during a pandemic. And so they went, you can wear your own shoes, but they kept the price in there. It's already, people already now know that bowling is like $20 a game or something. $15 maybe, $15, $16 per person per game. We've all
they've
accepted
got
this.
Us
this has made me
want to
go bowling.
And,
though.
Yeah, me too.
And to be, to go be honest, bowling? I would pay more to not have to change my shoes.
Yeah, it's true. Here, it's $50, but you can keep all your clothes on.
Yeah, right.
That's the bowling guarantee. That's how we do things down here.
It's a badminton place, but you got to change. You got to wear, you got to wear like a beekeeper's hat, and you can't wear that shirt. And you got to be like wearing a sort of a big collared counts business shirt and cape, and you got to wear a mermaid's tail. This is just how you would make more money to get.
You make the clothing more fancy, more paraphernalia. Did you write down business outfit transfer booth as a sketch idea?
No. I mean, I guess we have had socialized pants.
We did have socialized pants. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But you've added the shirt as well.
That's true. Socialized shirt.
There's a fresh
pants.
Take on it.
I mean, I think you'll remember Brian was here. Brian, listener of the show.
And one of the it was a great episode.
One of the only times we've had a listener on.
Said a very funny thing about horses.
What did he say?
We were talking about a meeting with horses.
Mm.
And he just casually dropped that it would be very difficult to get everyone to agree on something. And it took me a while to work out that he was making a nay joke.
Took me a while too. You explained it.
But I mean, I think it's still, even without, and I may have said this on that episode, but even without the nay pun, it would be almost impossible to get a horse to agree to something.
Yeah.
consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, they can't put their hand up either, can they?
Because I think even if they said nay, it wouldn't be intelligible in English. They're not. Mm. They don't actually go nay. They go.
Well, this is where the language receptors come into play.
Of the horse.
Andy's cooperation.
Andy Core.
Take the language center out of Farlap's brain and put it in a jar. In a,
horses
in a
come
museum.
Up a bit on this show, don't they?
Yeah.
Fair bit, actually.
When you're around.
Yeah, this is me.
I think so. I saw a video of you on a horse recently.
Yeah, I was on a horse recently.
Do you like horse smell?
Yeah, I like horse smell. I like farm smell. Like, which I think is me saying I like the smell of cow shit. But anyway.
Mm. It's fine.
There's something about it. I don't know why. It's just because they only eat hay and stuff.
It's okay to like the smell of the shit of a herbivore.
Oh, thank God.
They're different.
So, it's not okay to like to smell the shit of a lion or something. So suddenly I'm a weirdo because I just like the smell. And he just said he loves the smell of horse shit.
Yeah.
Right? But if I go, I love the smell of lion shit. Suddenly I'm a weirdo.
Have you smelled cat shit before? It's awful. Imagine a lion would be even worse.
I'm not going to.
They're shitting out zebra.
Hey? Zebras smell good. It's kind of a horse.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that would be an added benefit for you, right?
No, that's actually the biggest, most brutal thing of all. They're taking something that makes such beautiful smelling shit and they're eating it and making awful shit, smelling shit out of it.
Entirely out of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if a horse was all shit smell. That would be the dream for you.
Yeah.
And that's what lions provide. And I'm the weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually... Oh, look, I don't want to go so strong on the record here saying I love the smell of horse shit.
You're always...
I said I love the smell of farms.
You're always trying to hide things from your audience.
And I just think that involved in that is a bit of cow shit.
So you think maybe it's the cow shit that you actually love?
Well, yeah. But I mean, same diff, surely.
Yeah, but a lion can also eat a cow.
What?
Yeah. what was I supposed to write down?
Salad. Doesn't matter.
Salad. Bouquet of salad.
No, I think you're about to not write down the booth. But I quite like it. It'd be so easy for you to both go, I'll just write them all down. And Alistair still is a gatekeeper here.
He holds onto that pen like a...
Yeah, I'm not writing it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already been done.
But he'll say the flimsiest shit, and he won't even say it before he's written it down on the paper. He just reads it out to me after he's already written it down.
And he started bullying me recently. Where he's like, "Oh yeah, it's crowns are a new form of language like that." And I go, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, "Oh, you never write anything down. Oh, it's a sketch. Crowns are a form of language." They go, what? They go, oh, you're tyrant. Oh, I want to go home. Like that.
What have I walked in on here?
No, this is gentle ribbing.
Mm.
Bit of joke nasty.
No. It's not a joke or nasty.
Is bolognese, is that the closest to water meat that we have in the world?
About bovril?
Bovril.
Yeah. Hot bovril.
You know what bovril was originally called?
Hot
Johnson's Fluid Beef was the original marketing name of Bovril. Johnson's Fluid Beef. Why did they change it? Why did they change it?
I think Johnson's is the worst bit.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting?
Oh.
It was made for Napoleon.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted a large he wanted all his soldiers to be able to have steak or something like that. But it turns out steak doesn't keep too well.
Oh.
But Johnson's Fluid Beef keeps like a motherfucker. Keeps so well, nobody even wants to eat it.
You know what they could have done?
The germs are put off by the name.
They could have just brought cows with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And a wooden plank. And then they would have already had knives on them.
What's the wooden plank bit for?
They're going to make them walk the plank.
And that's how they'll kill them. They'll go towards the sea, get the cow to board the boat.
And that's how you make you put the beef in the fluid.
No. This is steak. This is just for regular steak.
Oh, sure.
And then they'll get it to climb and walk the plank. Then he'll jump off. Or walk off.
It's he, is it? This cow's a man, is it?
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, all right.
It's an ox.
You're a scientist.
Yeah.
cow.
Yeah.
That's a woman bovine.
I think we just discussed before that any name could be a male or female name.
That's fair.
And a cow.
Beautiful name for a man.
Beautiful name for a man cow.
Mm.
Anyway, bull. Bull is just a male cow, which is...
I think he's right, actually. Yeah, sorry,
you're right. Damn it.
I think he makes it.
The species is cow, right?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Cattle? Bovine? Bovis,
cow.
Bovis bovii.
Oh, cow. It's a woman. Yeah, I reckon. Oh, dogs. Dog, that's a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I know, but a bitch isn't the species of animal.
Mm. Whenever I hear steak, I can't connect that with coming from a cow. It doesn't sound like a meat that comes from. It sounds like it comes from a horse.
Steak.
Or a dog. Steak. It doesn't match up in my head. Can't think of a steak as coming from.
What about? Could you picture it coming from a snake?
Yeah.
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 Because
yeah.
Imagine how what a snake steak would
snake
be like.
Snake steak, nice long
spaghetti-like steak.
Mm.
That's I'm lying it down on a really long hot plate at one of those Japanese places.
That was the hot plate making that sound.
You thought it was the steak.
I thought it was the steak. Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about a steak.
Makes the same sound in life as it does in death.
Snake steak.
Acoustically speaking, you can't tell the difference between a living snake
and a cooking snake.
A cooking snake. This is more of a cooking snake.
How do you ever allow ad sketches? Because this is good.
Yeah,
selling snake steak is great because you've already got two punchlines there. I think this is something.
Great, snake steak.
He doesn't do it to me. Andy wrote that as soon as I asked him to write that down.
It was basically my idea you asked me to write down.
It was an easy. And, hey, Al, write down that thing you said.
It was a joke as well.
Mm.
Oh, clouds. Why don't you write anything down? Oh,
clouds. There's something in this clouds.
I think what he's referencing at the moment is one a while ago where I was trying to propose a form of performance art where you lie naked in a gallery and you put some soil around your pubic area and then you plant some alfalfa seeds and you grow alfalfa pubes, right? And he told me that wasn't a sketch idea. I maintain that as a work, as a sort of a satire on performance art, I think that's very good.
Yeah, I think I'd write that down.
I think that is the kind of thing, but I would still write that down, I think.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
Well, I forced you to, but you really didn't want to.
Well, sounds like I did, Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, we can argue about the reasons.
At the very least, it could be on one of those, that could be like a prank. On one of those French-Canadian prank shows that are on TV sometimes.
Yeah.
It seems like something that might be on there.
I know, but it's an art gallery, so it's like it's kind of where you expect to see something weird.
Mm.
And that's not that weird, like to see some like plants on somebody's Johnson.
I think the fact that you'd have to lie there.
Johnson's beef liquid.
Beef fluid. Fluid beef. Look, we got three words from a listener. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I think that's time. I think we've earned it.
And I've got a great system for collecting these words and being sure that I don't do them twice. But that being said, we may have already done these words. So, but anyway, they're from a listener. I don't know if you know about this, Matt.
Yeah,
we have listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
Big
fan of your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. You might need, some of them might even be listeners of your podcast. Do go on.
Brian, who you were talking about before as a listener, he's been on Primates as well.
Has he appeared on... Oh, my gosh.
When we all went out for dinner.
Oh, that's right.
He came back here and...
Mm. We went out for dinner to Ant's Bistro, where Alistair and I had a really terrible dining experience recently. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm.
It was Brian Mates at that time.
Brian Mates. Write it down, Alistair. Why aren't you writing it down? No, he already has. It's one of his.
Oh boy, it's coming out. It's coming out. Hey, this is what it, this,
this is
what
like
happens.
One of those families that has all their fights when someone else is there.
So today's listener is.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Leon Horseman.
Leon.
And recently in the Discord for this show, he said the first time that we read out his name, I said his name.
And then
all of us laughed or tried not to laugh. And this time it's making me laugh much, much more. So
did you already pick him out not knowing that this was going to be a horse heavy episode?
I didn't think about how horse heavy this episode was going to be.
Every day, Alistair and I have a bet about how horse heavy the episode is going to be. And actually today was one of the days he bet really low. We call it betting on the horses. It's a little thing that we do. Yeah.
And then I go, if the horses are going to be low, then I think it might be time for a Leon Horseman
episode. Is there
episode.
Anyone who bets on the horses, but just bets on whether or not there are going to be any horses there?
Yeah.
And they just can't get it every time. I think, my luck's got to change. I keep betting no horses every time there's horses.
And it could be somebody who's got like day blindness, and so they're just always going to the races not knowing what day it is. I think Dr. Carl has that.
Day
Dr.
Blindness.
Carl Kennedy.
Day blindness. Dr. Carl Kennedy from Neighbours, yeah. I met him once.
Really?
Yeah.
When you were an extra on Neighbours?
When I was an extra on Neighbours. This is my one story where I was like, he's eating a toasted sandwich. I should say something to him so I have a story to say. And I go, what's in your toasted sandwich? He goes, just ham and cheese. I said, no tomato? No. Cool.
Was the
and if
vibe.
If you hadn't said anything, we wouldn't have had that story.
I know.
Was the vibe sort of stop talking to me?
I mean, he was as warm as he could be.
Yeah.
You know,
he was as warm as the toasted sandwich.
What about your story with Sarah Silverman? That's a bit hard.
Oh, yeah, where she was at one of the Carl Chandler gigs from Little Dum Dum, and I was just standing in the crowd, and then she was standing in the crowd because she was visiting, and then she uses a really bad word in this, but and then she sees that my shoelace is undone, so she undoes up my shoelace, and I go, thank you. She goes, oh my god, are you hearted? And then I go, yes. She goes, oh, I love those people. I mean, this story hasn't aged well.
Amazing that she did up your shoelace, though. I mean, that's a funny thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's right, because I said, oh, I do my shoes up using the bunny ears method.
Mm.
Like that. And that's when she said, oh, my God, are you?
It felt like, back then, I think even she wouldn't say that anymore. But how the fuck would I know that? But It felt like the perfect Sarah Silverman interaction. Mm. Much like your perfect Dr. Carl interaction.
I mean, I have a lot of perfect interactions with people. Like my perfect interaction with Leon Horseman when I said his name and brought joy into his life by occasionally giggling.
Is Noel backwards. That's cool, isn't it?
It is cool. I wonder if he knew that. God, that'll be nice for him to find out.
L is another anagram there, isn't it?
There's another anagram.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Which is the same. Your name has one L.
Yeah, or no la.
Mm.
You know? No
la. La
la
la no. Oh, New Orleans.
No.
Louisiana.
No la. No la.
Fuck.
Not that. I mean, like somebody who's like, let's say, trying to say a French word and they say la. Le.
They say la, and then they say no, le.
Maybe that could be it,
Ah, yeah, great.
Le. I can't think of a word that's feminine. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
God,
this whole episode's lost so much momentum. Okay, here we go. You want to try and guess what the three words are? Want to guess the first one? You can have a guess, too, if you want.
Okay.
So, Andy will go first, though, because just hosts first.
Peristalsis?
No.
Parabellum. Is that a word?
Parabellum.
Is that a word?
I'm sorry, the first word.
Sounds like a word.
It does sound like a word, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Parabellum. No, that's not a word. Cerebellum is what you're thinking.
Serotonin?
No. The first word was never ending.
Never ending.
Oh. That's good value. That's a good value word.
No, but I was going to guess sausage.
No. Do you want to guess what the second word is?
Oh, hamburger.
No, it's good.
Never ending good.
Yeah. And then do you want to guess what the third word is?
Time. Never ending good time.
No.
Fun.
No. Vibrations.
Never ending good vibrations. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a good description of this episode. I guess so. A good vibration would be something like heat.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but it's not, you know, it's not good in and of itself. It's only good, you know, in a certain quantity, in a certain context.
It's quite interesting because one of the episodes where we had Matt on, we talked about the range of heat that you could live within.
Oh, really?
And it being quite a thin sliver, actually.
Yeah.
That it's like you probably, what would you say, 50 degrees at most? It's most short.
Yeah, I think less, like, you know, long term. You're not living at 50 degrees long term.
No, I'm not saying you're living at 50 degrees. I mean, there's a range of 50 degrees. Maybe
if you were extremely well hydrated, you know, maybe you could live forever at 50 degrees.
Is that's the secret to never-ending life?
Maybe.
It's being well hydrated at 50 degrees.
I mean, not. I see what you mean. You live forever. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. We should try it.
Well, I mean, you'd
we should try it for just 5 minutes just to see.
See if we live through that.
Yeah.
And then we can extrapolate to forever.
We could put Andy in a car during the summer.
Yeah, great.
With the doors closed and everything like that, and a bottle of water.
This would be great because my car's air conditioning doesn't work, so there'd be no cheating.
Yeah, that's great. And that's what I like. And hopefully the locks also. Mm.
They also don't work. Yeah. That is true.
I first thought,
yeah,
the song Good Vibration, it's some sort of that you're in this, maybe some sort of a hell where you're like, that's a good song. It's a classic song, Good Vibrations. But this, in this case, it is never ending.
Yeah.
That would become good, hellish.
Good vibrations.
Because already the good guys have ruined it as a song in a lot of ways.
True.
It's a real shame.
It's a great song.
This is sounding good, Al.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I could listen to your version forever.
Yeah, well, it'll really change happy. Every time. And then also, I only can only do one bit at a time. So it kind of helps, I guess, in that you're not hearing the same thing as repetitively.
Mm. What is the best vibration, though? Like, heat is quite a good vibration.
Mm.
You know, radiant heat. Or we're talking about this sort of, you know, thermal energy of vibrating molecules. That's good.
Right. What about love?
Love. Yeah. I mean, is that a vibration? Love?
I knew you science types would cut me off there. Of course it is. I'm putting out beautiful, loving vibrations.
Oh, see, that makes it sense. That makes it make sense.
Yeah, when you put it in that way, it makes sense. Yeah.
I just said, yeah, just I put it in out. A longer sentence. There.
Yeah. And it was loving. I mean, could you make love not make love? You know.
I don't know. No one's been able to figure that out.
But could you force love to be a vibration in some way? Could you express love through a vibration?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I guess you could do a hug that you sort of just pump.
But, like, I think you're describing sex. a loving pump. Vibration, some sort of pumping hug.
Pumping hug. I want you to know it's a hug where you've. Firstly, you've drunk a little chemical that removes any potential of erections, like a reverse Viagra, and removes any it clogs up like a bear's butthole, you know, right before hibernation. It clogs up the thing that releases good feeling chemicals, and then so that you don't get horny or whatever. Is that a good feeling, being horny? I guess people just want to get rid of it. That's why they try to orgasm.
Yeah, I'm horny.
I'm so horny. Just let me get
this out of me.
Get it out of me. Let me exercise this demon. And then you could hug, but just like it's like a hug where you extend your arms and then bring them back in like this.
Mm.
And then if that went forever,
That could be good. I was thinking that a handshake is a kind of a good vibration. And I was thinking the handshake, in a way, by making it 90 degrees to kind of like the humping direction, right? It happens in you know, the handshake goes up and down, where the direction of motion is parallel to the direct, you know, the plane of your body. Whereas humping generally is, you know, I realize there's a little bit of, you know, lateral movement, but also it's mostly sort of up and down, perpendicular to the body. So I think that the handshake, presumably, given that it's formal nature, has been specifically designed to be
perpendicular
to humping, which is why you're able to use it so effectively in a formal business type scenario. But, you know, I think equally you could go side to side with a handshake and that would still be quite formal.
Yep.
And then, you know, likewise, you could also do a handshake that vibrates through time, which I assume is also, is time also perpendicular to the dimensions of space?
Perpendicular to the hump?
Perpendicular to the hump. And so I think, you know, that would also be considered a business sort of thing.
But that's, I was wondering if you could... High five is... that's more casual.
It is a hand. It's a hand hump. It's a single hand hump.
You could sort of organize a kind of a high five where some of the fingers are sort of poking out and interlocking somewhere. Mm. Very, very humpy.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you go for a high five and then somebody closes their fingers around yours like that and is like try to turns it into a hand hug.
Class.
Hand hug.
But I was wondering, would there be any way to sort of turn humping?
Yeah.
Dry humping. To do it in a way that is totally platonic and asexual and would make it appropriate for a business scenario? I think, by the logic of the handshake, it would work as if you rubbed up, you pressed your bodies up against each other,
but then
jumped vertically. So they rub up against each other in that direction, which again is perpendicular to the hump.
But there is some dry humping that is just sort of rubbing yourself up and down on each other like that. That's a big part of dry humping, I think.
Up and down.
I think the dry humping isn't just, you know, pounding, coming up against each other.
No, you're right. Actually, that's more rubbing, and then the sex is the pounding.
Yeah,
there must be some kind of like.
Well, it's the dry wet hump duality. but I think if you a business hump, a business hump, you could stand next to each other and hump in or out of phase with each other, so that you're actually not touching each other, but you are kind of creating, like, you know, from the side, you would actually look pretty cool, especially when you're both humping in opposite directions out of phase like that. You would kind of create like a space between you that would allow people to look through and see what's on the other
between
side.
Between your butts when they're...
You know? Can you kind of see that in your mind?
Yeah, I think I can see it. To me, it's just going to be a cultural... you know, shift, really.
Yeah.
That's all I have to be. Because, I mean, all these things probably, you know, handshaking probably in a certain culture at a certain point of time was very sexual.
And this, and you know, we know that there's still a pandemic going on and it's happening around the world where it's still some places where it's still bad. And so it might, you know, and just because the elbow bump seems so awkward, it might be easier to just shift straight to go nose first, straight into the sort of business hump, side by side.
What's also good about that is that because you're standing next to each other, sort of presumably facing in opposite directions.
Or, I guess you could do that.
You know, if anybody did sneeze or something like that, you're sneezing into open space instead of being face-to-face. And maybe we'll transition from being a face-to-face society to being a side-to-side society.
And you could do it with so many people side-to-side like that. Yeah, you could do the whole company at the same time.
It's a real formal gangbang.
Or two companies could come together side-by-side like that and just start a beautiful vibration.
Mm.
Maybe that kind of never ends.
Yeah, it's a kind of like a...
I mean, there could be a never-ending vibration that goes all the way around the world. Sort of like a Mexican hump.
Yeah, or like a standing wave.
Yeah,
around the surface of the planet, be pretty good.
A standing wave. Oh, because it's standing. Because you're actually standing. It's not like one of those waves that stays in the same position.
Well, I actually didn't realize it was a pun on standing.
But is there a thing, you know? So we, you know, because in the way the hump does represent that sine wave, right? Is there a way to get a standing wave hump? Where you kind of are staying in...
You look stationary.
Hey, well, you're stationary, but maybe everything's getting pulled up into you. You know, What if you were running on the world?
Mm.
This.
Like running that. On the world. Running. Much of running already takes place on the world, so this is easy for me to imagine. I'm going to go for a run on the world, honey.
But you're running at the exact same rate that the world is spinning, right? And so your
Is that
place,
fast or slow?
It's pretty quick. It's I think you'd be fast. Running at a fair lick.
Yeah. And so, but you're staying in the same spot it. Technically. Like a satellite could watch you and just watch you run and you would just be
you're like, it looks like you're on a treadmill.
It looks like you're on a treadmill. Like that, yeah. And, but then, things to hump are running right into you. I don't know.
Smashing into your genitals.
Yeah, smashing into your genitals. Your genitals are exploding. And you're just having to grow new ones. This is how long it's going like that. Or you're reinflating them or something like that. You've had to, you have to you're fucking moving skin from your leg and putting it back over your junk and sort of and sewing it so that it's back in the right shape. And then
on the run, grafting and reassembling,
waiting for the graft
genitals.
To take,
and then just in the hope that
because you see another sexual object coming up on the horizon, and you're not going to stop running. You can't slow down.
No, you can't. You're a standing wave of hump.
God, I hope these stitches heal in time. Maybe you've got some kind of you've got a Wolverine like of healing ability.
And it's like
just in time.
That's it. That does not sound like that doesn't sound like a nice time, Al.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like good.
But
you're missing the good part.
Yeah. But
or the vibration.
Just because something isn't 100% good doesn't mean it's not an interesting experience.
Yeah, that's true.
Never-ending, interesting vibrations.
Standing. Huh?
Well, yeah, the vibrations are good.
And see, he writes it down. See how he writes it down.
I know, but you've got an image of what it is in your mind.
I love. Right? I just love picturing this as an actual, like the budget on this sketch.
This is one Elon's going to do when he hosts Saturday Night Live.
Oh. Has that happened yet?
No, it's May 8th. So. But so,
it seemed like he was putting a call out for sketch ideas on Twitter only yesterday.
But
so.
it's May 8th, so he's probably going to mention Doge on the air. So you may as well buy some Doge before that. It's already kind of going up pretty good. It was at 27 cents on the day that they mentioned that he was coming on, but it's already on 42. So,
what's his relationship to Doge?
Because he keeps mentioning Doge
just
as a joke.
Be funny?
Yeah, just to be funny.
And that drives the price up.
Yeah.
I love the future.
Yeah.
So good to be here.
The financial world is, it all makes sense. It feels good. I feel safe in it.
It does, yeah.
Things will not collapse.
Glad we built everything on this.
You guys ready to go through the sketch ideas?
Yeah.
We got removalists.
See how Alistair doesn't want to have fun as soon as we start making anything that might be a joke about cryptocurrency. I'm not interested.
I brought it up.
Let's move on.
Well, I just don't want to have to correct you.
Because that's what you have to do when somebody brings up something wrong on a comedy podcast. You have to correct them.
Well, I didn't.
No.
I didn't.
No, exactly.
So, isn't that good?
Yeah, it is really good.
So we got removalists for every reason. Like I could get one to get me out of this situation, this conversation. And each of different sizes for whatever scenario. So say I would get somebody, I guess I would be the size of a piano to them. And that'd actually be pretty small. They would actually be quite small people for me to be a full-size piano.
Full-size piano, yeah.
Yeah.
You got a full-size piano in your house, don't you?
No.
No?
We do.
Do you?
Yeah, that's FSP.
Yeah, right. Do you have a keyboard?
Oh, no, yeah. When I hear full-size piano, I'm picturing a grand piano. Yeah.
You just got a regular piano.
Yeah.
Just an upright.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's one of those things that's being passed around my parents' neighborhood. They ended up with it for a while.
Mm.
They realized they don't want it.
Yeah.
I said, sure.
an interesting object.
Well, I mean, imagine, I currently own a piano. It's wild how well my life's going.
Are you learning? Because I know you already have a bass.
Yeah, I've got two basses now.
Two
bought a second bass in lockdown. First one since I was in year 11.
Yeah,
right.
And on that bass, I broke the G string about 7 years ago. Never replaced. Continued playing it on and off. Three string bass.
You've been playing
G string, the least important.
You've been playing this other one.
I did when I got it.
Yeah,
didn't know what to do with that fourth string.
No,
had to take it off. It was getting in the way.
But no, I did enjoy that. But things got busy. Things got busy.
Yeah, no,
the comedy festival, and I'm like, after that, I'm gonna get back into exercise, playing that bass.
And then we got you onto this podcast,
and then this has taken up all the time since.
So sorry.
All the preparation I did.
I'm so sorry. Then we got Standard 4.
Yep.
Standard 4. That's funny. That's the current.
I like
four,
that one.
Yeah.
Then we like the first one too.
Then we got Zombie Farlap.
This is my favorite.
The untold story of Zombie.
I think this is the one.
Of Farlap selling its
soul. I see this being a movie more than a sketch.
Yeah, no, I agree. Maybe a 10-part documentary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to be in the museum that day when that Farlap heart just starts beating again. Oh, Jesus.
Then we got, I wrote Reverse Horse Race, but it's really Backwards Horse Race, isn't it?
Have there been any zombie movies where it's all the animals, all the dead animals that come back to life?
There was one called, a Kiwi one called Bad Sheep or Black Sheep, maybe.
Right.
And I think that was all about sheep.
Yeah.
Like zombie sheep.
Okay.
Or vampire sheep or something. Apparently it was quite funny.
Yeah. They're funny.
Then we got
them Kiwis. Yeah.
Then we got Weak Restaurant MMA. It's a combat sport where it's people fight for who gets to pay.
I just love the idea of MMA taking place
in a restaurant.
In a cafe.
Yeah. Then we got Everything for Sale. Things of equal value you have to relinquish.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a free for all.
The guy sold his rocks for the business outfit, but then he gave the guy his clothes he was wearing, so he wasn't naked. Then what is that
I
part of the
I
same transaction?
I don't know if he actually did give the guy his.
I didn't give the guy his clothes.
No,
he just
took
so that guy
in a little bag.
Right, so that guy just walks off nude, and he can't do anything about it.
Well, he's just lost his
shirt. Because the transaction's complete.
And he's got this big bag.
So now he's off going, all right, I'm going to have to sell one of these shoes for a shirt.
Yeah,
maybe,
sure.
or the bag of rocks.
He's now got the bag of rocks, which is worth a shirt.
Yeah.
So
a good shirt.
In this world, it's just one guy with a bag of rocks always handing it over to get a shirt. And then it's like, some weird game of Tiggy.
Yeah.
You're it. You're the guy with the bag of rocks now.
And I guess maybe if you, it's like, maybe you have to be able to touch the person to make them sell you the thing. Because that way you could just stay away from people with big bags of rocks.
Yeah. I think once we've all got chips in our arms, or maybe just we'll be able to do it with mobile phones or something, that as soon as somebody swipes you or taps you, the transaction's official.
Right.
Yeah. Then we got Snake Steak.
Oh, this is my new favorite.
Yeah,
Hissing. Cooked in its own venom.
Cooked in its own hiss. Then we got Business Shake is perpendicular to hump for formal reasons, and then that allows us to develop new formal customs
that take place in different planes.
Different planes to the sexual ones, and then we've got the standing hump, which is actually a running hump, but it's in one place.
And the hump is things smashing.
Let's be honest, that's what sex is.
I mean, yeah.
Right?
It's
I don't know how you do
smashing
it,
smashing into your crotch and your crotch exploding.
That's the definition of sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is.
If you do it right. The guy said that to me in a bakery once, and that was the funniest thing.
Right.
Ever. If you do it right.
Yeah, that's a great punchline for nearly any
sentence. I want you to know that was the standing hump guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe it was.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. It was a bit of fun. Alistair and I really get along quite well.
I know. Yeah, we'll argue about certain things, but usually stuff that is completely pointless. we argued about the attire that we both wore at an award ceremony.
Let's be honest. It wasn't the attire that we both wore. It was the attire that I wore, Alistair. It was my choice.
I know, but through the arguing, mine got pulled in there. Even though that's not what it was about,
it got mentioned as a point of reference. Absolutely,
and I was like, let's be
let's not talk let's,
let's
not.
Be objective about this and not bring what I wore into this.
Now you're getting emotional. You'd be hysterical.
I think the people at home, they know that you two are friends, yeah, having quite real arguments that could probably break this thing up.
So enjoy it while you can hear it. Yeah. Enjoy it.
And do know that when it does end, it'll be over something so stupid. It'll be impossible. We'll never be able to get back together because that would require addressing how embarrassingly stupid the thing was that we broke up over.
Yeah. But hopefully it won't happen before the 300th episode.
If it did, though, that'd be a great way to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe one of us will die. Who knows?
Fingers fucking crossed. Matt, do you want to plug anything?
Oh, I'm doing a show at the moment called The Beer Pioneer, which is where you saw me riding a horse.
Yes.
And I've been, I think whenever this comes out, it's like a 7-part series where I go to different breweries and retrace the steps, sort of escaped convict from the early 1800s, William Buckley.
Mm. It's really fun and funny. It's a great show. And I enjoyed it a lot.
And people can find it by just go finding your Twitter and your...
Yeah, that's true. MattStew_Art on Twitter, Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram, Facebook. And the show is up for people. It's on the Stupid Old Channel, which is youtube.com/stupidoldchannel.
Wow. Is that also going to be on Channel 31?
It's on Channel 31 Tuesday nights in Melbourne, but for people outside of Melbourne. Yeah. 9:30 Tuesdays in Melbourne and Geelong, I think. Maybe in Adelaide as well.
And for people in the United States, mostly YouTube?
Mostly YouTube, yeah. Mm. For people in the United States, how about this? Our community station here is called Channel 31, and to watch it, you've got to go to Channel 44.
Pretty good. Well, you can find us on Twitter at 2andTank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can find us on Instagram at 2andTank. I'm at A. Trombley Birchall because I lost the other account, Alistair TB.
Did you?
Oh, I had it and I forgot how to get back in. And I don't know what email I used. And, you can support us on Patreon. You can support Matt on Patreon for his Do Go On podcast or his Prime Mates podcast, which had a recent episode come out.
I did a live one.
Live episode.
Yeah.
I got to listen to that.
There was just a free spot, and I said, yeah, I'll take that.
I'll do a monkey podcast.
I wasn't sure if anyone would come, and they did. It was very fun.
Awesome.
So thank you very much for listening, and we love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.